For our reading this afternoon, let's turn to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 16, and begin with verse number 16. Acts of the Apostles, 16:16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach for customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I'd like to end there with the 34th verse. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. It's interesting for us to be able to have this account of what had transpired in the early church and the things that they dealt with and how they responded to the things that had come to them in their lives. And so we're thankful that the Holy Spirit had inspired Luke, the physician, to write this passage of Scripture, these Acts of the Apostles, that we might know how they handled these things and that came about their way, and how we might handle the things that come about our way as well. The Lord Jesus Christ said that, asked the question, who then is that faithful and wise steward who will be watching when his Lord comes? And so as we consider this passage of Scripture that we read this afternoon, let's keep that phrase in mind, that the Lord Jesus Christ is asking us, who is that faithful and wise steward who will be watching when his Lord comes? Watching. That means that we are alert and that we are doing what God would have us to do. And so we see here that Paul and Silas were watching. They were alert and they were doing what God would have them to do. And so let's consider these scriptures and how God was working and the Holy Spirit was working in the lives of these faithful men who brought forth the word of God. If we read earlier, in I believe in this chapter, that The Holy Spirit had, or the Apostle Paul had a vision at nighttime that there was one calling him from Macedonia to come over and help them. And so they made their way there, and they made their way to Philippi, which is a city in the region of Macedonia. And he went there, and as his custom was, that they would he would go where the believers were, and he would pray with them, and he would speak the word to them. And so it was that there was a woman there named Lydia, and the Lord had opened her heart, and she received the word of God from as Paul and Silas were bringing forth this message of salvation to the believers there in to those that would believe there in Philippi. And so we see that here's some things that we can learn already from the early church, is that when they were to go somewhere, they brought forth the word of God. They brought forth that word of God. That was the commission that Jesus Christ had given them, that they would go everywhere bringing forth the word of God. And that there were also those who showed hospitality. And Lydia had invited Paul and Silas and Luke and whoever else was with them, that they might be her guests in her home. And they did stay with her for some time. And so we see that there was hospitality there, and there was a desire to have this close communion together. And that's a hallmark of believers, is that there is a strong desire to have a close communion together, to be together, to worship the Lord together, to speak of His Word, to read His Word, to pray together, to sing together, and to share with each other the struggles that we might face. And so we see this pattern that was set up then and that is good for us today. And so we get to this part where we began the reading in verse number 16, where it says, "And it came to pass, as we went into prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." So there was an opposition that formed, and that's always the case for the believer. And it was the case for the believers back then, it will be today, and if the Lord tarries, it will continue to be. There is opposition when God's word is brought forth, and when the Holy Spirit is doing His work in lives of believers, of those who would believe in what the word of God says. And so it was here that, yes, Paul had a vision to come to Macedonia and help them, and he went and he brought forth the word of God, but there was opposition. And this opposition came this time in the form of a damsel who was possessed with the spirit of divination. And so she was there and trying to hamper the work of God, but the work of God cannot be hampered. God will see it through. It says that the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." The spirit that was in her brought forth this truth. It was a truth. And this spirit recognized the power of the Holy Spirit working in the lives of Paul and Silas and Luke and others that were there with them. And so this spirit was saying these things, and this spirit was speaking truth. There was a time when Jesus was upon the earth that there was a man with an unclean spirit, and that unclean spirit said, "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God," as he spoke that to Jesus. The evil spirits recognize the power of God, the Spirit of God, and who He is. And so it was here to as well, and it's yet even true today. The evil spirits recognize God and His power. The Bible also says that the devils also believe and tremble. And so it was that this spirit had said these things, that these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and he came out that same hour. It's interesting to note that Paul turned to the spirit and spoke to the spirit, not to the damsel, but to the spirit. And he didn't do it in his own name. He didn't do it with his own power. It wasn't of his own righteousness or of his own goodness or of his own wisdom or of his own power. It was in the name of Jesus that this spirit was cast out of this damsel. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Here it was that men who have carnal inclinations were very disappointed because their means of making a very good living was now taken away because Paul had cast out that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. They responded with carnality. They were enraged. And so this is the way of man. We've seen it in our lifetime over and over and over again. This is the way of man. There is a conflict. The way of man responds to that conflict with hatred, with revenge, with a exceeding strong judgment, and with false accusations. And their desire is that I win, you lose. That's the way of man. We've seen it in our lifetime over and over again. Whenever there's a conflict, that's the response of a man. That's not the response that the Lord has for us. The way of the Lord is that when there is a conflict, the response of the believer is one with love, with mercy, with kindness, and with forgiveness. And then that leads to peace. Peace that's so elusive in this world. That's the way of the Lord. And so we'll see later that the Apostle Paul and Silas responded in that way with love, peace, kindness, and forgiveness. And it brought about peace, and it brought about fruit, as opposed to these masters of the damsel. They were very carnal in their response. And so they bring Paul and Silas into the marketplace and before the magistrates, the judges of the city, and said, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." So again, they had this hatred and they had this revenge that they were going to exact on Paul and Silas. And they brought forth false accusations. False accusations before the judges and before the multitude. What they said was not true. Paul and Silas did not come to Philippi by the power of the Spirit to teach customs of the Jews. If we go back a chapter, we can see that there was a problem with that. That there were those that came from Judea, men came from Judea, and they came to Antioch, and they said that except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. That's simply not true. And so Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. And so it got elevated so much so that Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem to speak with the elders or with the apostles about this matter. And there were even Pharisees. It says, "There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." But Paul and Barnabas were having none of that. That's a false doctrine. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. Moses brought the law, but Jesus Christ came to fulfill that law. All righteousness is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The law brought about a knowledge of our sin and our condemnation, but Jesus Christ brought about grace and truth. And through that grace and truth and our faith in Him, we have His salvation. We have His righteousness in us. And so Paul and Barnabas clearly understood this, and they went to the elders and to the apostles, and the apostle says, yes, that is true, that no, you don't need to be circumcised or follow the law of Moses to be saved. And so it wasn't that they came to Philippi to teach and to preach. And so it was a false accusation that the masters of this damsel had against Paul and Silas. They did not bring to them customs which are not lawful for them to receive. And so the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Such strange behavior. We think today of judges when they are in their robes and they're on their places where they execute a judgment. They're very dignified. In our custom, in our culture today, judges are very dignified. For them to have behavior that was like this would seem very inappropriate. But it says that the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Instant revenge on Paul and Silas. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. This was a very difficult time, fleshly speaking, for Paul and Silas. But yet, they had their faith in the Lord, and they knew that they were simply doing what God would have them to do, bring forth the message of God, and however things played out from there is how the Lord wanted that to be, and they were to leave. They left it as such. And so it was that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. This we always draw inspiration from this, that here it was, perhaps it was because their stripes, their beatings on their bodies probably prevented them from sleeping, perhaps. But yet it was well into the night, and certainly they were tired, but yet they sang praises unto God, and they prayed. Certainly they were following the instructions of Jesus Christ in their prayers, where Jesus Christ instructs us to pray for them that persecute you. Here it was that Paul and Silas were being persecuted, and they were praying. And the Holy Spirit certainly directed them to pray for those that were persecuting them. So they were praying for this jailer. They were praying for the masters of this damsel. They were praying for the magistrates. And that's the beauty of the Lord's way, that when there's a conflict, the Lord's way is that there would be love shown, that there would be mercy shown, that there would be kindness shown, that there would be forgiveness shown, and then that leads to peace. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. If I remember correctly, in the New Testament, there are only two places where there's an earthquake recorded, and that was one when Jesus was on the cross, and this is the other time. This is the Lord's work. This is the Lord's doing. For him to shake the foundations of the earth is a small matter. And the timing of it and the results of it. The earthquake that perfectly, that the doors open and that the bonds are loosed, that's the Lord's working. That's the Lord's doing. To him he receives the honor and the glory. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm." Again, this is the Lord's way. If Paul was a carnal man, he would certainly say, "Yes, fall on your sword, you deserve to die." He would want revenge. But Paul was a godly man. He was a godly man, and he said, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Don't do any harm to yourself." This is the love of God. This is the love of God. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Here it was, because Paul and Silas had shown love, because they had shown the way, they not only spoke the gospel and the kingdom of God and what it was, but because they had been doing, they were faithful and wise stewards, doing what the Lord would have them to do when their Lord comes. And so because they were doing what the Lord would have them to do, it brought out an opportunity for someone to ask this question, that what must I do to be saved? And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Again, they were bringing forth the word of God, of the kingdom of God, the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus. They brought forth that message. This was their message, Paul and Silas, to the jailer who had put their feet fast in the stocks and thrust them into the inner prison. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We go through the Gospels and we see that. Jesus Christ, in the last portion there of Mark's Gospel, he says, if you will believe and be baptized, you will be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And so Paul and Silas were saying the words of Jesus Christ, that if you will believe and be baptized, you will be saved. You will inherit eternal life. And then in John's Gospel, we read the very familiar verse that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If thou wilt believe, thou shalt be saved. The Apostle Paul had told the jailer that. And Jesus Christ also says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. These are the words of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel message. This is what it is to be a part of the kingdom of God. And Paul and Silas were uttering this same message to the jailer. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And then we go to Romans and we read verses such as this. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. A word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Apostle Paul had told the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And here's the same message again. Thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. We are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ when we express a faith and a belief, a life-changing faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. When we believe on Jesus Christ, we will be saved. It's a life-altering belief. It means that we are born again. It means that our old self is gone. It means nothing anymore. Our old desires, our habits, those mean nothing to us anymore. And we are walking in this newness of life, and we believe in Jesus Christ. And so that was the message then in the early church, and that's the message today, that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be saved. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. This is what the Paul and Silas had done. They spoke unto the jailer and to his household the message, the word of God, to them that they could understand. So what was it that they spoke? What was the message? What was the word of God that they were preaching to the jailer? Certainly, much of it had to have been a message that came, that we read on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That's what Paul and Silas did. They were peacemakers. They didn't debate with the masters of the damsel. They didn't debate with the magistrates. They didn't debate with the jailer. They were peacemakers, and they are called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Ye are the salt of the earth. Jesus Christ here is saying, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law. Jesus Christ spoke to them of adultery and divorce, of law and oaths, to return good for evil, the law of love, true piety, not doing our alms and our prayers before men to be seen of men and to have respect from men. He taught them the Lord's Prayer and fasting, and to trust in Him, to first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that we have need of in this life will be added unto us. He taught them not to judge, lest they be judged. He taught them to ask, seek, and knock. He taught them that they need to enter in through the straight gate. He taught them to be aware of false prophets. These are the things that Paul and Silas had spoken to them. They were faithful and wise stewards, watching, doing what God would have them to do, alert. And so they spake unto the jailer and to his household the word of the Lord. And he took them the selfsame hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with his house. The jailer came to believe because Paul and Silas were watching. They were alert. They were doing what God would have them to do. And so there was great rejoicing because there was now this belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he died upon a cross and shed his blood, being that supreme sacrifice once and for all for sin, and that all who would believe would have eternal life, and that he was not contained in the grave, but that he resurrected and he lives on forever and forever. And so there was great rejoicing. When the jailer came to this knowledge, there was great rejoicing. What happened to the jailer after this might not have been good for him, because the magistrates and those masters of the damsel probably came to understand what had happened, how that this jailer came to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he accepted the message that Paul and Silas had brought. And so it might not have fared very well for him in the coming days. We learn from the scriptures. We see how they did things. We put God first. We put the Lord Jesus Christ first in our lives. And all that follows, be it what it may, the Lord is in control. We trust in Him. We go on believing. We go on in faith. We don't know. Our knowledge is limited. We don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And we walk in this faith and in this newness of life each and every day, looking to the Lord for His wisdom, for His guidance, looking to the Word of God for instruction, that we might know the way to go, that we would be faithful and wise stewards. Many are the things that we can learn from this. And when we apply God's word to our hearts, when we allow the Holy Spirit to make us to be faithful and wise stewards, watching until our Lord comes, we do what God would have us to do, and that is to share His word and then also to do His word. And there are those that may respond well to it, and there will be those that don't respond well to it. The results belong to God, and we're thankful for that. But yet, if a soul does turn to the Lord and is saved and is baptized because we shared the word with them, because we were a good example to them, because we prayed for them, our response to that is simply, we are unprofitable servants and have done simply that which was our duty to do. And so my prayer is that we would simply just learn from the Word of God how it was for the early church, how they dealt with the circumstances that they dealt with, and how simply we can just be wise and faithful stewards by the grace of God. May we grow in that. May we do God's will. And may He bless us, each and every one. May God bless His word further upon our hearts. Amen.
I love the way this story ends, which we didn't read, how the Apostle Paul, after saving and baptizing the jailer, going to his house to eat, apparently they put him back into prison, because it says in the later in verse 35, it says, "And when it was day, the magistrate sent the surgeon, saying, 'Let these men go.' And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, 'And the magistrates have sent us to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace.'" So they must have been put back into this prison. But Paul said, no, wait a minute. "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily. But let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the surgeons told these things to the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And so it's interesting how he used this. He was a Roman, and they had no right to even jail him, much less beat him and uncondemned. And so he used this, and he brought this to their attention. And of course, then it says, "Then they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed." So after all this, going through all this, being in jail, being locked up, and then being loosened by the miracle, if you will, and then when they learned that he was a Roman, they feared. But the Apostle Paul was just so well aware of what he was and and what he represented. He used every ways and means that he could to bring the gospel message. And of course, then it says, then when he went out, he went to the brethren and he comforted them. And so we oftentimes read in his words, read where he wrote to the churches, and it's many times very comforting to us, the words that have been penned for us even to this day and age. May God bless these words upon our hearts.